Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Grab It Quick News. This is the 8th episode of season 5 of my podcast. We are halfway done with season 5, 2 more episodes to go. This will be my final season, unfortunately. I hope you have enjoyed this as much as I have, and as always, I appreciate every single listener and writer. I just realized that winter's almost over, and you know what? Now is a great time to really reflect and think about the fun things you want to do this spring. All right, so let's get started. First story is 3 unusual sexual fantasies that aren't unusual at all. 4 out of 5 people have thought about having sex in public. Did you know that? Paraphilia is the term the mental health community uses to refer to unusual or non-normative sexual interests. The number of sex fantasies deemed paraphilic have grown quite a lot over the years, to the point where hundreds of things have been labeled as unusual turn-ons. It turns out that a lot of these fantasies aren't so uncommon after all. Here are 3 sex fantasies that are typically considered to be paraphilic, but psychologists say are quite common in terms of the number of people who have fantasized about them. The first one is BDSM, which stands for bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, sadism, and masochism. It is something that most people appear to have had sexual fantasies about. Some aspects of BDSM seem to be a little more popular than others. The data that was collected from 4,000 Americans about their sexual fantasies for a book called Tell Me What You Want found that 93% of women and 81% of men fantasized about being sexually dominated. A majority of men, 85%, and 76% of women had fantasized about sexually dominating someone else. In addition, 85% of women and 73% of men had fantasized about being tied up during sex or tying someone else up. Likewise was the desire to mix pleasure and pain. As you can see, BDSM is a pretty common activity to find sexually arousing, especially the dominance, submission, and bondage aspects of it. The second one is having sex in public. It's another fantasy most men and women appear to have had before. According to the survey for this book, Tell Me What You Want, 81% of men and 84% of women have been turned on by the thought of public sex. The third fantasy that seems to be quite popular, particularly among men, is voyeurism, or the act of watching an unknowing person take off their clothes or have sex. The survey revealed that 72% of men and 48% of women have fantasized about voyeurism before. When taken together, these numbers tell us that mental health care professionals should take care when classifying and giving a sexual fantasy as unusual, because many of these fantasies have been labeled paraphilic, are quite common fantasy themes. Let's remember that just because someone has fantasized about something previously doesn't necessarily mean that they want to do it. In other words, not all sexual fantasies are sexual desires. Furthermore, keep in mind that the numbers presented above simply reflect whether people have ever had a given fantasy, not whether their favorite fantasy or it was something that they've done. Whether a given fantasy is classified as common or uncommon should have no bearing on whether that fantasy is considered healthy or unhealthy. It's a completely different question. Case in point, someone may be encouraged to act out, but it doesn't mean that they should. Just because a fantasy is rare doesn't necessarily mean that it's harmful to anyone. If they decided to make it a reality, whether a sexual interest is healthy or unhealthy ultimately has little to do with how people have turned. Our second story, 2 sex facts you won't believe are true. The first, did you know that sex can blow your mind literally? Transient global amnesia is a sudden temporary loss of memory that's not attributable to any common neurological condition. So what can cause it? Sex, along with a very short list of other causes that include sudden immersion in hot or cold water, sex can literally wipe your memory. Thankfully, the condition is rare, temporary, and not likely to occur. But why does this happen? In a 2012 study published in the journal Stroke, researchers contend that a particular kind of tensing and straining, mostly in the abdomen and common in sex, can put extreme pressure on your veins and allow deoxygenated blood to flow toward the brain, causing it to essentially short out. The second fact, the penis can break. While the human penis contains no bones, sudden and forceful bending of an erect penis during intercourse or masturbation can cause the corpus cavernosum, the cylinders, to fracture. In the chilling words of the Mayo Clinic, a penis fracture is a painful injury. Signs might include a cracking sound, immediate loss of the erection, or the development of dark bruising of the penis due to blood escaping the cylinder. Sometimes the tube that drains urine from the body is damaged as well, and blood might be visible at the urinary opening of the penis. Talk about wow. This is the second half of my podcast where I give advice to the listeners who are writing in. A gentle reminder, if you're not 18 or older, you shouldn't be listening to this without your parents' consent. Let's get it. Our first letter is from a female in Kentucky. She writes, "Dear Jessica, I had my first threesome and honestly, it was a complete letdown. It was a party that no one brought the fun to." Talk about disappointing. Even the sizes were sad. Should I try it again? Well, first off, female in Kentucky, I am so sorry that your first threesome experience was awful. I know that is quite a shock. If I were you, I would go ahead and I would try it again, because there's nothing wrong with being sexually free and experimenting so you know exactly what you like. Thanks so much for the letter. Our second letter is from a female in Missouri. She writes, "Dear Jessica, what are your thoughts on the woman who said she would not want to go to Cheesecake Factory for a first date? Are women doing too much in the dating scene now?" I was wondering when this question was going to pop up, and lo and behold, here it is. So as you all know, I have been away doing my whole cooking hustle, and I have not really been paying that much attention to what's been going on social media. But I did see this on the news. I saw that this particular story made the news. And I thought, you have to be some kind of crazy to start an uproar like this. I feel like what she said was wrong. I feel like she could have worded it a little better. And I feel like for a first date, I feel like people are expecting so much from people with a first date, and really the first date is just to see if we have a connection. I don't mind going to the Cheesecake Factory personally. I don't mind going to get ice cream. I'm the type of person where if I'm going on a date to genuinely connect with somebody and have a connection, then it doesn't matter what we do, because I'm not there to eat. I'm not there to be there because I got a cute little outfit on, my nails are did, my hair is did, and I need some pictures for IG. I'm not there for that. I'm there because this person has sparked an interest in me where I want to see where this goes. And guess what? If we decide to go to a Cheesecake Factory the first time, maybe for Valentine's Day, it'll get better. But that shouldn't be my expectation. Now, do I feel like women are doing the most? I feel like women are not doing the most. They're just not saying it exactly how a man would like to hear it, okay? I'm going to say women have sugarcoated their feelings for a very long time when it comes to their standards and what they expect with a man. And we've had to take a lot, and we've had to sit and swallow that because he's a man. And I want him to feel as special, right? So I feel like right now what women are doing is they're just seizing what they have. They are single mothers. They're raising kids. They are providers for their household. They're basically doing a man's job. So they're going to, of course, attack dating the same way. And I know a lot of men, "I don't like no masculine woman," but you're not helping her bring out her feminine side if she's doing it all. Because even when you go on a date nowadays, the guy is like, "Where do you want to go?" And it would just be nice, I think, for most women if they could find a man who would take initiative. But at the end of the day, I feel like women have just had enough of playing nice. Now, this particular woman with the Cheesecake Factory, I think she was out of line, because the issue that we have is this is not about the date.
This is about her expectations being too high for a first encounter. And I think with anything, not just a date, but in life, in a career choice, in relationships, that is a big red flag for me, is when people have a high expectation of me before they have even gotten to know me or met me. Because guess what? I'm going to let you down if you have a high expectation. And then when I let you down, you're going to be like, well, I told you so. So then it perpetuates this negative cycle, not just in dating, but in your life in general. Just think about that. Think about when you don't have a lot of expectations, where you're just like, you know what? I'm going to go through with this and I'm going to do it. And you don't have a lot of expectation. You're able to accomplish it. And then you have a really great sense of accomplishment. Like, oh my God, I did that. Oh my, I feel great about it. But when you have all these expectations, well, once you're done with it, well, I didn't do this right. And I didn't do that. It becomes a mental torture for you. So I urge everybody, not just women, but I urge women and men to lower your expectations a little bit. I think everybody has gotten caught up in social media and the expectations of that. And that shit ain't real, y'all. I just want to let y'all know, if nobody's told you today, social media ain't real. Social media is a place to make other people feel like shit because my life looks perfect. And the truth is, that person could be battling suicidal thoughts. That person could be battling mental, physical abuse at home. We don't know. So our number one goal, we always want to take care of ourselves. And we always want to make sure that we have a healthy expectation in our life in all things. Thanks so much for the letter. Our third and final letter comes from a male in Nevada. He writes, Dear Jessica, my lady has a foot fetish. I am not into it at all. I do not enjoy sucking toes, but she insists that I do it. I tried to compromise and I told her I would do it if she got a pedicure and I could lick them right after. She said no, she only wants her feet licked when her pedicure isn't fresh. Please help. Wow. I don't know what to say except, you know, get ready to lick them feet. So I would say this is something called sexual incompatibility. Your partner has an obvious fetish that turns her on, that makes her feel special and great. And this is not something that you are into, apparently, which is, I applaud you. You're like the only man within a million mile radius in America who doesn't have a foot fetish right now. So congratulations on that. Toot that horn. But I do want to point out, if we love our partner, sometimes we will do things for them because we love them. So the foot fetish thing could be something that, unfortunately, you may have to chalk up and you may have to just do for her, because there may be something that you like sexually that she's not telling you about, but she does it anyway because she knows that you like it, right? So that's what we say about relationship and compromise. It's not always about, well, today we're going to have Applebee's and tomorrow we'll have Red Lobster. You know what I mean? You got to sleep on this side of the bed. I get to sleep. Sometimes it's about sex. Like, I want to have anal on Wednesday, so I will go down on you for an hour today and an hour tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's compromise. And I think in relationships, we don't think about compromise sexually, but we have to compromise sexually because that's what keeps our relationships spicy. That's what keeps us guessing, and it keeps us at peace with one another. And I think that's a big thing in the bed, is that's why it gets boring, is because people don't like to compromise because they're tired of hearing no. But that's, compromising in bed is a great way to never hear that word no, because you're giving them something they want, and in return they're giving you something you want. So that's why it's very, very, very imperative that you know what you want in bed and what you want out of bed. So when you are in a compromising position, you at least have the leverage to be able to compromise in a positive way, right? Because everybody wants to get something out of that. And if that's sexual pleasure, why not? That's an amazing compromise, right? So good luck with that. Let me know how it goes. Thanks so much for the letter. Well, that's all the time we have. Thanks so much for rocking out with me, Team Grabbit. And always remember, be good or be good at it. Bye.